Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 37 of the 5-Minute Major Podcast of St. Louis, presented by Across the Board. Unfortunately, we have to discuss a brutal Game 7 for St. Louis. I mean, brutal loss. I thought the game was great. But yeah, we'll get into that later. We're not even going to talk about it right now. We're going to break it down. The whole season, just as a whole, we'll probably talk about it and what's next. And then we're going to, talk about the rest of round one briefly and then predict round two. We just wanted to catch up with you guys mostly because we were so busy watching like the madness that we couldn't find time and working and all that. We just couldn't find time to sit down and talk. So now it's the first day. And of course, the Blues are out and it's stinky, but it kind of is what it is right now.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel, Josh?
I am crushed.
Yeah.
I think it was one of those that you come this far, you do all this work, and you lose in 1.6 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the obvious way to look at it for sure. Like,
I just think there were the mental breaks that happened were stupid mistakes that led to our downfall. And yeah. I think, like we said, I mean, we've been playing playoff hockey for months now.
Yeah.
And I think it finally caught up to us.
We're finally gassed.
This team is not perfect. This team needs a lot of pieces to be fixed, truly. But I think the window is now opening for a bright future.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
And I really think Monty is the guy. And I think we've seen a lot of maturity and growth from a lot of different players on this team. But I also think we're going to have some hard decisions to come here soon, and we're going to have to really figure out what this team is going to look like in the future. And I think there's some hard decisions that are going to have to be made internally with the core, because I don't know if the core is truly the one that will take us the long way.
Yeah, I think the core can evolve. I mean, we're not like Toronto where we're just going to ride it out.
No, I think they're a big name guy will be off this roster going into next season, in my opinion.
Yeah, and, I mean, I could see it.
I think you have to be aggressive in this offseason. And I think we've seen Army be aggressive last season, but I think there's still some big major gaps in this roster that we need to fix.
Yeah, and I don't even think Army was that aggressive this year. I think he made one kind of aggressive move for the offer sheets and then just did what he had to do to compete. And now it's like, okay, we're back. Let's contend. So we'll see what he does. Him and Steen are going to put in work as always. Let's run through round one as just a whole really quick. We've been going east to west, and we're going to keep going and ending with the Blues, of course.
Yep.
Okay. Leafs, Sens. Heck of a series. Sens almost came back. Toronto, they fought their demons off, baby. The core four was unreal. Like, they
also, did what they had to do. Mitch Marner broke his curse and was a stud, and I love to see it, which does make you wonder what the decision for this team going forward is going to be. Who are they going to ride with? Who are they going to let walk?
It's going to be really interesting.
You got to decide on Marner. You got to decide on JT. You got a lot to Knives.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made in Toronto. But I'll segue into Ottawa. Props. Ottawa had a heck of a series.
Yeah.
They are young. They're inexperienced in the when it comes to playoffs. But they got a taste. Brady Tkachuk was everything and more for that team. He does need to learn to stay out of the box a little bit more. But that being said, they're a fun team to watch, and they're dynamic, and they are only going to get better with time.
Yeah, I think the Battle of Ontario might be a thing for a couple years here, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So good for Ottawa. I mean, shout out Brady for, you know, sticking with his, you know, his guns on everything, too. He got a lot of hate. People thought he was going to get traded. People thought he hated it there. He's like, it's just not true. And he goes out there and he leads his team to the playoffs for the first time in a while, and they compete. So. Yeah. I mean, they're kind of the Blues of the East in a sense, where they make it. Now the young players have to figure it out, and they almost did on both sides.
Yeah.
So pretty good.
Yep.
Capitals, Canadiens, this one was just – I feel like this was just dominance from Washington. Like,
yeah,
the Canadiens put up a decent fight with the skill. like the Suzukis and the Caulfields and the Slifkovskis, like nice. Montembeau gets hurt, brutal look. I mean, their backup wasn't too bad, but Capitals are just big boys, man. They're so big, and they play playoff hockey, and they have so much experience, like way better team.
This, out of all the teams that made it in, I really wish Columbus would have been over Montreal. I think Columbus could have played a better series.
Yeah, I think the willpower from Johnny and all that probably could have helped them compete more than the Canadians, but still a heck of a series. I mean, shout out to the Habs too. Another also, young team making it in and throwing a game or two at a good team. So,
like we've talked about though, guys that have shown up, Ovi had a great series. Ovi showed up, Ovi played great.
Yep.
And I think another guy that, I mean, we all hate him, but you'd love to have him on. Tom Wilson, man, is everything and more for that team. And we saw it. Contributed physically, offensively, and just dynamic. Does this Capitals team have what it takes to make a long run? I don't think so. I think they're going to struggle in these next two rounds substantially. But time will tell.
Yeah, we'll get into that one. It's going to be an interesting matchup with the Hurricanes, who put it to the Devils.
Let's go! I mean,
the Devils, they were done once Hughes was out.
Yeah.
And then the first game of the series, like three more players got hurt. Markstrom played great, though.
He finally shows up when the rest of the team's gone. So,
he made it competitive for as long as he possibly could. I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, shout out the Devils for trying their hardest there. Keefe is a heck of a coach, but it was never going to happen. I mean, the Hurricanes are built like a cup team, so it is what it is there. They look really good, though. I wouldn't be surprised if they I think Capitals, Hurricanes go 6 or 7. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the Hurricanes, though. I think they're favored, so.
Yeah, I personally am pulling for the Hurricanes. I mean, I think they're a great team with a lot of skill.
Yeah.
I also think defensively they are substantially better than the Capitals.
Yeah, I mean, Capitals defense is underrated, but Hurricanes are just bigger and meaner, for sure. All right, and then Panthers Lightning, this was a whooping too. Like, Tampa didn't even put up a fight. I was upset. I wanted this to go 7 games. I thought this was going to be like a Dallas-Colorado series, and Tampa Bay just like, first of all, they had a bunch of injuries. Second of all, Vasilevsky was not good. And Kucherov was just kind of floating, doing his thing, got some assists, but he didn't really make too much of an impact. So it was kind of like the Gensel show versus Florida just beating them up. So,
which makes me wonder, is Tampa's window closing?
It's an interesting thing to think about. I mean, they're getting kind of old now. They have to start making the moves to stay competitive. But, I mean, the core is still solid. I mean, still solid. They were like the highest scoring team in the regular season, and they just couldn't get it going against Florida. So, and Bob was great.
Yeah, like always.
Yep. All right. Go ahead. We'll start the West.
All right. We will start with the Vegas Minnesota series. Vegas comes out with the win to advance. Decent series.
Yeah.
Really impressed with Minnesota. They were finally healthy, and we saw how dynamic this team was. I think they're another team that has room to improve, but they're making the right steps and improving. I hate the Golden Knights with a burning passion, so I can't stand them.
And yeah,
it's frustrating that they are still competitive and good, but when they have no loyalty to any player on that team and keep buying and selling whoever they want,
doesn't matter. They'll just keep winning.
Yeah.
It's a great way to look at it, though, as a GM, you know.
But at one point, it's going to catch them because they have no development or youth.
Yeah. I mean, it's just an appealing place to play.
Yeah.
And as long as you keep Eichel, like, you're probably all right. They locked down Barbie for a long time, too. It was a great contract.
Bring him back.
As for the series, man, they like just figured it out. Like the Wild just couldn't hold back the star power. And then, you know, Boldy and Kaprizov was like the whole team. It felt like, I mean, Wild defense was solid, Gustafson solid in net, but just never enough. I mean, Aiden Hill could be the worst goalie in the world, and I still think Vegas wins in seven. Like,
Joel Arisenak definitely was not at the level I think we've seen him.
Yeah.
I think
it's just another team with too many injuries going into it.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to get people back and they just can't be up to speed in time. And like, I feel bad for the Wild, but I also don't like the Wild either. So I don't care. Like,
it was a series that I really didn't like either team.
Yeah. But they're severely cursed. Yeah. What is that? 9 first round exits in a row. Like, it's like a record in all of sports. Bad looks for Minnesota, for the state of hockey. So you guys need to figure it out up there.
But jumping to the next series, you know who's got some terrible luck? The LA Kings versus the Edmonton Oilers. Was this the fourth season in a row?
Yeah, dude.
I mean,
this one was probably I feel like this was the worst one.
Oh, out of all the series, I really feel like this was one of the worst. And I would say the New Jersey Carolina series was not great in the grand scheme of competitive level.
I'm not talking about the viewership like feel to it. I just mean like the loss to the Kings is just the worst out of the four or the 4 years. Like, how, dude? How do you do this to yourself? It stinks, man.
Yeah.
They're a really good hockey team and then they crumble. When McDavid scores, like, you know, some crazy goal, they're like, oh, great, I guess we're just going to lose now. I didn't mean to, like, talk over you there, but I think it's just a choke.
Yeah.
I think bad coaching is a part of it.
And players that needed to really step up, or just players that gave it their all and are kind of at that point. Like, Drew Doughty, man. Love the guy, still a very good defenseman, but you're starting to see the age. You're starting to see the effects of injury. You're starting to see the longevity of a career, how it beats you down a little bit.
Yeah, and he's another one that had just come back.
just come back from an injury. And I think this LA team just has the inability to just finish out. And it was sad because, you know, I think it would have been nice to see LA go past just like the Blues. Because I think they could have made some noise if they could have made it out of this first round. But I think there's some big questions that need to be decided for LA. I know they're going to be going in the offseason with roughly $23 million in cap space. They got like 5 players they got to re-sign. But do they make a run at a superstar like a Mitch Marner to bring into that, that locker room and give them some stardom up top?
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, there was already rumors that they're trying to trade this Clark kid who's like 22 years old, which would be silly in my opinion. And then they just got rid of Rob Blake as their GM, so they're kind of looking for a man at the helm too. Yeah. So they're starting at the top already. And you got to give props to the Oilers, man. You just got to. I mean, their goaltending is doo-doo pants. Horrendous. And their defense isn't much better. McDavid and Draisaitl and the bottom six stepped up. Like, Connor Brown scored a couple. Kane brought the physicality again, and he's kind of in people's faces. Like, the offense is so good, and they can just single-handedly dominate you and score 7 goals if you're on your heels. Yeah. And that's LA's fault. I don't know.
Truthfully, I don't think going forward, we'll talk about these next round matchups, but I don't see it being a good series for them next, because it's now they're into the gauntlet. They're going to have to actually play good teams with full hockey 180-foot games.
They took Florida to 7 games last year. That's true. What happens this year.
But you also had Stuart Skinner, who was actually playing really good in net.
Well, they have Pickard's been all right.
Pickard's been average, okay?
Which is all you need. Which is all you need with McDavid.
This next series will be a battle of the average goalies.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll segue in.
Yeah. Good Lord.
We'll talk about that in a sec.
The Dallas Colorado series. I think by far, it was a tie between the Blues and Winnipeg, in my opinion, in the Dallas Colorado series. I do think you have to say Dallas and Colorado was probably the number one series of the first round, in my opinion. Mikko Rantanen is a monster.
As if we didn't know already.
Single-handedly defeated Colorado.
pretty much.
Also, Colorado was phenomenal too. So like, that's the other thing. Like, Colorado loaded up, but I think they have a lot of question marks going into this offseason as well.
They have a lot. I think they have a lot more than you think.
What are you doing with the depth pieces? Like, is Charlie Coyle going to continue here? What are we doing? And I have so many questions for this team going forward.
So they locked in a goaltender, right? Well, now you have to worry about Gabe coming back on the books.
Yep.
And then trying to keep all these veterans down the middle that you picked up for this run, and you just couldn't do it because they didn't even contribute. Brock Nelson was a nobody in this series.
He won
face-offs. Didn't notice him once, though. I didn't even notice O'Connor. I guess I wasn't watching intently enough to notice.
Just he was bad. Taking and penalties then, in terrible spots.
God, game 7 was so good. I mean, I was laughing. I was laughing. Now I'm really upset that the Blues did the same thing. But, I was laughing at Colorado because it's just so poetic. Rantanen comes out and scores a hat trick to beat you guys, comes and shakes your hand, says he loves you in interviews and stuff, and it's like, you guys look so dumb right now. And, you can't fault McKinnon's effort. Honestly, I don't think Makar was good enough.
I felt like Makar was not good.
It's kind of like the Draisaitl McDavid thing where, your two guys really need to be really good.
I
think Makar was good, but he wasn't great, and McKinnon was, of course, himself. So
yeah, I think the top guys, though, I thought Martin Natchez played a really good series for them. Young, but played really good. Taves, I mean, props.
Solid.
I mean, if there was one guy on my dream bucket list that I would love the Blues to get, he is one of them.
Yeah, he's solid.
I think he would solve so many issues on our back end, too, to solidify us as a solid back six. But I just think Dallas stepped up, did what they had to do, and they did it without two of their top players.
With their two top players.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say the same thing about this next series, which we're really about to get into. But I mean, heck of a series, man. Stars, Avalanche, good job to both of you. And thank you, Dallas, honestly.
Yeah. Go Dallas.
All right. Let's get into the Blues and the Jets. Now, the away team didn't win a single game in the series. We should have changed that routine in game 7, but obviously we blew it. Heartbreaker, 1.6 seconds left. I mean, we didn't play good for the last 5 minutes of the game.
No.
On our heels.
Cole Perfetti can't be left there.
I mean, there's plenty of things to talk about. Like, the first goal from Perfetti was nasty.
Yes.
And I don't think the penalty should have even been called, personally. I think that's just a playoff whack. And Iafallo needs to hold on to a stick. Come on, bro. Soft, it is what it is. You got to bounce back, which, I mean, we're going into the third period of 3-1. It's 3-1 with 2 minutes left.
And that's
the goalie's pulled.
Yeah, and that's the
thing.
And
that's our kryptonite, which is wild. I see Boston Bruins fans talking about how, oh, Monty did the same thing against Florida, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I can maybe see it, there has to be a little bit of coaching, a mental thing. He needs to say something else, maybe, because the team was clearly rattled whenever they're just holding their own zone on a 6-on-5 all year. It was 15 goals against on a 6-on-5, which is insane to me. Yeah. So, but not only that part, we can get into all of the mental lapses just in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah,
Veteran
players, and I think a lot of the blame, as much as he had a decent series, Buchnevich should have just skied the puck up in the air and let Thomas try to get it.
I don't think he knew Thomas was there, and I also think he really wanted to just get rid of it in case he had someone on his backside. But he could have just skated.
I think that he had open ice in front of him.
I think that's the issue, or, is no one's moving their feet in this situation. Move your feet.
You got to skate. You got to get up the ice. But the other thing I think we're seeing here is that this is where the depth wasn't there, and you were playing your guys heavy minutes in the last probably 10 minutes of that game. Because they shortened the bench. Joseph was not touching the ice. Bolduc was not touching the ice. You're double shifting because we're trying to put two centers on the ice every shift. So it's either Shen Thomas,
Sonny and Foxa as, like, the secondary center.
So it's just hard. The other struggle is that you saw repeated deflections off your defenseman that bounced into our net. And Suter had a couple.
Preko had six.
Holy. And I think the other thing is that I don't think our top players were healthy, but I mean, you can't really say much because the Jets also were struggling.
Yeah, that's unfortunately not an excuse we can use.
The big what if is, what if you had Holloway?
We would have won at least one game in Winnipeg in the first two games.
I agree.
And because his grit and speed automatically livens your team up, especially Jordan Kyrou. It would have completely flip-flopped Jordan Kyrou's series. He would have been open so much more because Holloway creates so much space for the kid. And that's important.
I'm glad you brought up Kyrou. We've had this discussion so many times. I view Kyrou as the guy that's expendable on this team going into next year, because I view he is the one that has the highest ability to get you something that can help. We threw ideas around, but I just think Kyrou, yes, he had that goal in the game 7, but where was he the rest of the series?
Yeah, he had a couple like nothing burger goals. I mean, like, he had glimpses of hope in this game 7 where I was like, nice box out. Use your body. He laid a hit or two.
He was not the same player after he got hit by Logan Stanley.
Which is okay. I mean, maybe he was hurt, which is fine. But your legs aren't hurt.
No.
Use your feet, babe. He's just half the speed too often.
He looked like the guy from the beginning of the season that we were frustrated about turnovers and lack of effort again. This was not the Jordan Kyrou of, I'm going to just burn and burn and dig and fight and get my pucks when I need them. And that was the frustrating part.
I think, unfortunately, the game was too slow for him, especially with playing with Neighbors and Shen. And we know that playoff hockey, like, dials the speed down and really ups the physicality. And I think that's an issue. Now, like, against a team like Colorado, he probably would have been okay. Or Edmonton, I feel like he probably would have had more space and speed in the neutral zone or whatever.
I think he would have struggled.
The Jets, just too heavy.
A second series against Dallas, because I think it would have been a heavy series as well.
Oh, yeah.
But
the
issue, too, is that this Blues team did not have strong centers. You needed a true second line center. I love Shen. I think Shen did a lot for you.
He was brutal in game Shen 7, but
was not great.
He won 75% of the faceoffs.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think he was a -3.
Yeah.
Like, which is insane.
We could have used him as the third line guy. Also, this was the first game I was disappointed in Oscar Sundquist.
I mean,
in all the playoffs, this was the first one that I like literally was like, you're taking stupid penalties and put us in bad spots.
That penalty wasn't a penalty, but I agree. You still can't take it.
You can't.
You know, you can't just whack a guy, even though it wasn't a penalty.
But it was one of those things that, I mean, there is a lot of good. There was a lot of bad.
Yeah,
that I'm not mad at is Jordan Binnington.
Never. He's
amazing.
I'm almost never mad at him. Yeah. He made nearly 60 saves.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? I want to go back to the play, though. Like... The game tying goal was so frustrating because you have it on the end boards. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's like 4 seconds left. just dive on it. Like, put your hand on it. I don't care what you do. Just get somehow, just use your hand and toss it out of the zone. Fall on it. Get cross-checked a couple of times like the movie Goon.
Go into you the gotta corner make a play. And just hold your spot. The whole series was in the corner where we're all fighting. I would have rather put him in the corner and just figured it out.
Yeah, that so you not pinning the puck on the boards there is horrendous.
Yeah.
The Bush dump for icing was bad, bad because terrible. We couldn't make a change. And then in double OT, Sonny, instead of just making the simple glass and out, curls back to the center of the or the middle of the D zone, turns it over, and it springs the next 20 seconds in Pionk or Lowry's goal or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And shout out Nail Pionk. Played like 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Because Morrissey was out.
That's the other thing. They were playing with five defensemen, which is even more pitiful that you weren't able to go put another goal in.
Yeah, Hellebuck we were gassed. Did
show up finally. Hellebuck learned he to play goal saves. Again and made some saves.
He but, looked way more confident. He was out.
Like, oh my gosh.
That save on Kyrou's slapper, I was like, okay, I think Hellebuck's going to make some saves. Like, we really need to keep peppering, and we just didn't. So,
it was a slap in the face this game in a way that I just, you rolled over and you were unable to finish out a game, and that was the sad part.
Yeah. But, especially after a heck of a run. We'll get into like what next steps, and we'll talk about some positives too before we get into next steps. But, I want to talk about how Falk had 9 giveaways and 0 takeaways, and he had 3 times the amount of the rest of the team in giveaways, which is brutal. So he had a bad game. Usually he's pretty good with like board battles and stuff, but bad game from him. And I just wanted to mention that. Talked about Kyrou. We talked about how I was going to talk about how Monty's coaching might have been a little questionable, which I kind of did. I simply don't know how the team can sit back for that long without him like calling a timeout, saying something.
Yeah.
Like, but it's really on him with, like you said, playing our guys. He threw out the 2 lines. Yeah. I simply can't see how throwing out the 4th line or a Joseph is detrimental in the final seconds of a game when they're defensive players anyway.
I think so, my idea of a guy
that was interesting
that should have probably been out there is Walker. In my opinion, I know this is probably like cliche and like shoulda, woulda, coulda. Walker seems to just eat the puck with blocking it and playing at the point and is able to just move laterally better than a lot of players.
Yeah.
Same with Torpo. And good, better, and different. I love Jake Neighbors, but I feel like I'd rather have had Walker out there than Jake Neighbors. Jake Neighbors can be stuck in the mud sometimes. Neighbors had a great series. Believe me, and he is going to be built for the playoffs, and he is going to lead this team in the playoffs going forward. But Walker, in my opinion, is the epitome of a Blues player that is just blue collar. I'm here with my lunch pail, and I'm coming to fight.
Yeah.
And I think he would have put his body out there and probably would have benefited you. The other thing I will say is that you finally saw that Father Time himself, Suter, this series finally got him.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why Tucker was in.
And I think if you had Tucker, this game would have been substantially different too.
Because he doesn't really get gassed like that.
No.
And it's fresh legs. Fresh legs always helps, right?
Fresh legs, and I feel like he plays the puck better in the corner. He moves the puck substantially better, in my opinion. And he's a threat with a shot. As much as we don't want to admit it, he only had 3 or 4 goals. Yes, but at least he gets the puck on net.
Yeah.
And that's the other frustrating part is we didn't have a defenseman that had the ability to be able to hoist a shot down there on the goal.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that we can segue into some positives, though. We talked about Binnington. He was unreal.
Binnington was amazing. Fowler?
Fowler. Most points by a defenseman in the first round, most points by a Blues defenseman in a playoff game. I mean, we can keep talking.
Yeah.
And we have him on a steal, and we have another year of him. So shout out Army for that. Next year will be a
big time play. Is he the same player he was for us this year? If he is, this Blues team's in a very good spot. If he regresses, we're not in a good spot going into next year.
Yeah, so we'll see. but a heck of a pickup. I love Cam Fowler. I've always loved Cam Fowler. Yeah. So good for him. Jimmy Snuggerud, bud, tied for two in points for rookies in the first round with four. Let's go. I think he was two behind Lane Hudson, who
Lane Hudson
Calder Trophy winner, hopefully. Yeah. So shout out to Snuggy. I mean, he was laying hits, making some solid passes. He was a little shaky in Game 7.
Game 7, the
saw some passes the were a little passes questionable.
Straight in the middle of the ice to no
back
one.
Back to back, too. Back I was to like, back.
That was the one thing where you're like, oh.
But just dump it low, baby.
He came to the bench. Jimmy talked to him. And
Otter did, too. Otter was Otter like, don't do that ever.
Yeah. Bull Duke, in my opinion, was non-existent, which sucked.
Non-existent. Physical, but non-existent. Didn't
power play even, also did not look great.
Bad. Like the first, couple games at home or whatever were okay.
Yeah.
And then after that, brutal. Brutal power play. So kind of regressed, but it. I mean, I don't want to keep giving excuses, but 2.5 months of playoff hockey is. These guys were done. Yeah. You know?
For sure.
They were like, we had the lead. Let's just hold it. Like, I don't want to keep going.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Rookies got a lot of experience, so that's good. We'll see who's here and who's not this offseason, if you want to get into that a little bit before we predict some round two matchups.
I think guys that will not be back on this team next year, and if they are, we have some issues. as much as I love Suter, I think Suter has to go.
Yeah.
Suter, I think, is gone.
Waste of a million.
The decision in which you signed Kessel to a one-way deal and you extended Tucker, both of them are your guys going into next year. So Suter's gone. That's your first one. Number two and three. Joseph and Texier, I think, are gone as well. Texier, I think, gets an opportunity to stay over Joseph. But Joseph, I think, is done here in St. Louis. And then the two bubble guys, in my opinion, are Leddy and Falk. I think Leddy gets moved at the draft most likely. And I think if you can find a way to get rid of Falk, that's also ideal. The guy that I would like to see gone that a lot of people are probably pissed off at me is Jordan Kyrou, because I do believe you have the scoring depth and you need to acquire a game changing center and or a defenseman going into next year. And a defenseman that is a right-handed shot that can pair with Broberg on your second pair.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you with pretty much on all of that. I mean, Leddy and Falk are my two that have to go, for sure. Suter needs to retire or just go. I'm definitely open to Jordan Kyrou getting traded if we get what we need. Now, it's hard to do. I mentioned a trade to you today, and I saw from, I think it's Sam Analytics on X, so shout out Sam. They mentioned Bo Horvat. Now, Bo Horvat has been averaging almost 20 minutes time on ice per game his entire career. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Second of all, he's almost a 60-point player every year. Now, he's 30. To me, that's not that old. To me, that's not that old for a 2C who can drive the middle with Kyrou and Holloway and just dominate every other. Like, they could play as a one line. Like, we'd basically be running two first lines. Now, to get him would be hard, especially because they just got the first overall pick in the lottery. So it's like they don't need the first round pick as much. Like,
but the guy that is predicted to go number one overall is a defenseman.
Yeah, yeah, right-handed or left-handed defenseman, just kind of like a. They're all kind of like a Lane Hudson type nowadays.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens.
Out of the players though that we've talked about to get from the Islanders, I still like Noah Dobson.
Yeah, I think he would be involved in a Bo Horvat trade if we could sweeten the deal. So I think it would be like a Kyrou Falk first, maybe even more than that.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about. I think it's going to be a Kyrou Falk, Bull Duke first.
Something like that. Alexandrov, or that's probably not too good enough of a prospect for them, though.
It'd be like an Otto Stenberg, a Adam Yurchik, a Theo Lindstein,
I don't think it's
Jakob Stansel.
I think it's definitely just like a big forward, if anything. Which I don't think we can get rid of defensemen besides oldies.
I know a lot of people have talked that they don't know if Otto Stenberg is on this team going forward, and I think Mike Myers has also talked about that. I find it very hard to believe that he is not a chosen guy of Alexander Steen. He was drafted after Steen worked in the youth development of Sweden. He is going to be a guy here, and I think he has the connection that you want with a Dalibor Dvorsky and Otto Stenberg.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes. A lot of people are saying Dvorsky's just needs like a couple more years.
Yeah, I saw 1 to 2 years.
Yeah, he's too tiny. He's a power play merchant right now. He's got to learn how to play 5-on-5 up the middle if he wants to play center. Yeah, or you throw him on the wing. And we've talked about him playing on the wing. And if Bolduc is traded, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but yeah. It's one of those things that's
just a future thing, right? We talk about it all the time. Yeah.
And I think if we're being realistic, I think defenseman wise that are realistic options that could help us. Noah Dobson.
Yeah.
Owen Powers.
Yeah, I love that kid.
Bowen Byram.
Brent he's like Clark. A Krug.
Yeah. Brent Clark. Hey, I love Torrey Krug.
Brent Clark's a good name. He's young and he's huge, dude.
Yeah. And then guy from New Jersey, Nemec.
Nemec, yeah, Nemec. I think he's their future, like one though.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
But let's be honest, you offer a Jordan Kyrou to a New Jersey Devils team.
Oh, they're gonna love that.
So here's the other thing: is I think Vancouver, has some issues.
We'll take Quinn Hughes.
So here's my thing: what does it cost to get a Quinn Hughes?
Dude, he's the best defenseman in the league.
So that's the thing. So truthfully, would you be willing to send a Jordan Kyrou, a Bolduc, a Stenberg, a first round pick, and a second round pick?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Quinn Hughes is 100 points every year. And he can play 30 minutes.
So, tonight. I mean, what is he? He's a right shot, right?
No.
He's a left. So he can pair with Colton Parayko.
So Fowler moves down to play with Broberg?
Playing in his offhand, which he is comfortable doing.
I don't know. We'll see. That's a stretch, buddy.
That's a stretch out of all
Quinn
of
Hughes,
them.
Quinn Hughes is not what we need. But
I have seen
would be
is
great.
That
but it's not what we need.
Buffalo wants to build around Owen Powers.
I don't like Bowen Byram. I think it's Owen Power.
The other thing, he's a left shot.
Everyone is.
Everyone's a left shot. You need a right shot defenseman, which leaves you Noah Dobson and Brent Clark.
I mean, you could bring in a Fabro for $3 million.
He's a lefty.
No, I thought he was right.
No, he's a lefty. Fabro
I'm thinking
is a
of somebody else, maybe.
Here's
my list. So I have a list. So you got to get younger on the back end. Noah Dobson, Ivan Provorov still out there. He's a free agent. He's a left though.
I like that idea.
I like him too. Haig from Vegas, young
also,
guy,
also a good option,
solid pickup. And then Ryan Lindgren. Now I think he might be a left too, but he's a big body. Another big body to throw back there. And here's my list of centers.
Yeah.
Ryan Donato.
Okay.
Pius Suter from Vancouver. Young stud who just broke out.
I have seen him on multiple websites saying as a perfect decision for the Blues.
Yeah, he would be great with Holloway and Kyrou. I mean, anyone really would. Yeah. And then Sam Bennett, probably not going to happen.
Going to be very expensive.
Roslovich. Interesting player. You mentioned Cody Glass, which he's young and I like him a lot. Morgan Geeky broke out this year. Heck of a year from him. And then Marco Rossi is a RFA. And McLeod as well is another name. So there's plenty of fish in the sea to go snag. I think number one priority is getting Foxa back on a cheap deal to stay with the WTF line, and then obviously keeping Hofer, and then from there you make your moves. We'll see what Armin and Steen do, bro. Like, it's going to be really, really I think it's going to hurt some feelings. Because, like, the last big trade to get O'Reilly really didn't hurt that many people's feelings because it was Berglund and Sobotka and, like,
and Tage Thompson.
Yeah, but Tage hadn't broke out. And, like,
he was very unhappy here and very vocal about feeling like he was being shied his opportunities.
Which, our window was open and you're not part of it. It is what it is.
It's going to go back to the trade in which TJ Oshie, who was a fan favorite, loved in this city, for a Troy Brouwer.
Something like that.
It's going to be something like that.
It's going to be exactly like
that. And the guys that I think fall into that category of a trade that can get you something that'll fans will be either hit or miss. I think Kyrie will be, man, this sucks, but also a lot of people will be like, okay, cool, we're probably getting something good. Jake Neighbors.
I don't think he's traded. I think it'll be a Bull Duke before Neighbors. Neighbors, there's no way
Army
gets rid of him because it's just the way Neighbors is, you know.
I do wonder if you look at the Boston Bruins right now.
Yeah, Geeky's the guy too for center there.
In a destruction mode. Geeky, or are you doing a Pavel Zacha?
Maybe.
But
I think he's too close to like a Shen. Like, I think his ability isn't high enough and fast enough.
Yeah, I mean, he put up 14 goals and 33 assists this year in 82 games.
It's okay.
Yeah. The guy that I really wonder if you're trying to get a superstar, is Boston willing to trade Pasta? If you're trying to get a superstar, I think there's three teams you can look at that there's potential. It's going to Ottawa and giving a blank check for Brady Tkachuk, which I think that's just a dream. It's Boston, where you're asking for a David Pastrnak. And then it's the Detroit Red Wings, who are in all a disaster mode because Yzerman, it's not working.
Yeah, we didn't mention Detroit. Idea.
Detroit's got a lot of guys that I think would be very interesting. We didn't talk about defenseman options. We talked about forward options. And I think guys like Larkin, who was very vocal at the end of the season about being disappointed with them not going out to get anything. Alex DeBrincat. You got Lucas Raymond. And then on the defensive side, you got some great options. You got Simone Edvinson, you got Sider, you got Palinkin or whatever his name is, Sandy Palinka, who played for Sweden in the World Juniors. They have options, but I'm very interested to see what will happen. I think you have to make a big splash. I'm interested to see who will hit free agency. And I do worry that you need to lock up a Fox before free agency because I think he'll get paid.
Yeah, I think he'll get some term if you don't get him.
I think you offer him a two or probably a 3 to 4 year deal at 2.5.
I think it'll be 2 years, 2 million.
2 years, 2 million?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go in on Detroit a little bit. I think Mo Sider and Dylan Larkin are the guys.
Yeah.
I love both of them.
Or do we revisit the guys that we talked about at the deadline that we really wanted? A Jared McCann?
McCann and an Alexiak, a big boy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not mad at that either, but we'll see. I have no expectations. I really don't. Like, when we were losing this year, I was like, whatever happens, happens. We started winning. I was still like that. And that's how I'm going to be in the offseason because I don't want to have too high of hopes unless, like, I don't want to feel like Nashville at all. I don't want us to go out and splash it and then stink. So,
Nashville's got some interesting names too, though.
I mean, they're picking 5th in this draft. After going and getting who they got.
Yeah. Which So if you're looking at Colorado, would you be interested in guys like a Charlie Coyle or no?
No. He's not a 2C. We're trying to move Shen down, remember?
That's true. I do wonder if you can add multiple centers. I think Sonny has to be your healthy scratch.
Yeah. Unless you don't sign Fox, huh?
Yeah, but I don't think he brings the ability that
Ford line has. It would basically just be the STL line instead of the the STF instead of the WTF.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Never mind. It is what it is, but we'll see. I don't want to keep diving into it too much because we'll just keep talking for 2 hours. And
this is true.
I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I'll bleep that out. As you can tell, I'm tired.
All right, let's run our predictions predictions. Let me pull up the notes that we had here. All right.
Before we do that, if you're a Blues fan, hopefully you aren't sad anymore and you're realizing that the future's bright. And
yeah,
we're basically just talking about things that could happen or what we want to happen or what we don't want to happen. So it is what it is. Whatever happens is out of our control. But hopefully we get better and younger and faster. So yeah. Anyways.
All right.
Now to round two.
We will start in the East. Hurricanes versus Caps. Do you want me to read your prediction you had in here?
You can say yours and then I'll.
Okay. So I have the Hurricanes winning in 5 games.
Let me see here. I have. I have Caps in 7.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good series, bud.
Yeah.
Physical, really physical series. Honestly, Aho's like a sneaky superstar still. Like, no one talks about him.
No. Him and Nico Heischer are guys that just don't get talked about.
Yeah, people were thinking Heischer should have had Selke votes this year, which I'm sure he did, but he wasn't in the top 3.
Yeah.
But I think it'll go 7. I just think that the goaltending favors the Caps.
Oh, for sure.
Especially with Freddie kind of questionable.
Yep.
And Kochetkov's okay, but I think Thompson's having a heck of a year right now. So yep. On to the next.
All right. Leafs and Panthers. I have the Panthers winning in 6 games.
So do I. Toronto won game 1 5-4, so they almost blew it.
Yep.
They were up 3-1 in the first, and then Florida scored 3 in the third. And luckily Toronto scored a 5th goal. Knies with 2 points, goal and assist. Pacioretty with 2 points. Nylander, 2 goals, 1 assist.
Yeah.
Solid stuff from the core guys.
Yep.
Hold on.
No.
It looks like Stolarz played half the game, made 8 saves on 9 shots, and then Wohl came in. And that's probably why they gave up 3 goals in the third.
I wonder if it's an injury.
Really weird. I don't like that for Toronto. They pulled it out, but that's not good. So we'll see with that.
Yeah. I guess something happened. Stolarz and Bennett is now a question, according.
Wow.
So I'm wondering what happened.
Did Bennett like run into him on accident?
That's what I'm wondering.
On accident.
Stolarz vomiting on the bench before being pulled from the game.
Whoa.
Yeah, looks like he went over to the bench, vomited, and then was pulled from the game.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, so that's a tough one to swallow. If he's out long-term, this series is done. Joseph Wohl is not the guy.
Oh, man, this was accidentally on purpose. This Sam Bennett, this guy, man. Sneaky cheap, man. He totally just elbowed him in the back of the dome piece. We'll have to show the video on a clip or something.
Yeah.
Pull it up or you guys can look it up, because this is just clear as day.
Yeah.
He'll probably get suspended. We'll see. Okay, all sorry.
Right. No, you're good. I will go to the Knights and Oilers. I do have the Knights winning in 6 games.
Yeah, I have Vegas in 7. I think Oilers push it with the star power, but ultimately Vegas defense, too good.
Yeah.
Too good.
And then the series that I probably will follow the most out of any of them, will be the Stars versus the Jets. I have the Stars winning in five just because I hate the Jets with a burning passion. and I hope they just suck.
Yeah, I have Stars in six. I'll give the Jets an extra game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Hellebuck's legacy now. Like,
yeah, I hope
he made the OT. He made the OT saves. He kind of figured it out a little bit. His team helped him too. They're hurt now though. Like,
yeah,
Shifley, who knows? Morrissey, who knows? Everyone's gonna have to step up, and Hellebuck's really gonna have to make some saves.
Don't you worry. We're gonna see who the real best USA goalie is. Jake Ottinger, baby.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, the gauntlet that Hellebuck could possibly go through to make it to the Cup Finals.
Bennington,
followed by Ottinger. And then a backup in Four Nations or Aiden Hill or whoever it is. Like, then or McDavid. Like,
yeah,
if he goes through all that, then props to you, bud. But I think Stars are just too deep, man.
Yeah.
Especially if Robertson and Heiskanen are coming back. Like,
oh, yeah.
Good luck.
But as always, it's going to be a heck of a run in these playoffs.
Yeah, love it. It's the best sport in the world. All
I care about is that the Jets don't win the Stanley Cup. I don't really care who else does. Hey. Vegas and the Jets, I don't want to win. Mike's got the Capitals. Come on,
Ovi. Rooting for Ovi, baby.
I won't lie. I will be cheering for the Dallas Stars and the Carolina Hurricanes. but as always, guys, thank you so much. It's been a heck of a ride this season.
Yep.
We will try to do some more coverage throughout the playoffs. It will not be as in depth as it was with our lovely Blues coverage, since our team is done for the season. That being said, we will give ourselves a little time to wind down, and then we will hit the ground running with preseason stuff up again.
Yeah.
A lot will be changing for Mike and I in this up and coming next year. I will be entering travel nursing. Mike will be looking to get a house and continue to find places to live here in St. Louis and the ever-changing of growing up.
Yeah, so
it'll be definitely a different perspective from us going forward. That being said, nothing will be changing. We still will be bringing you
an episode a week, baby.
An episode a week.
At the very least.
At the very least. We do love this. We have definitely grown, and I don't think we saw this growing as quick as it did. So thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. And Mikey, man, it's been a hell of a year, man. And I am so happy we were able to do this. I know it kind of started as a joke, and it has definitely grown to be something I look forward to every week and talk with my best friend.
Yeah. Love you, but it's been a lot of fun. The Blues shot them out, man. 12-game win streak, breaking a record. Home win streak, breaking a record. Cam Fowler breaking records. Like, Bennington breaking records. I mean, it's just a heck of a year. Too bad it ended the way it did. And 1.6 is going to be a number that I'm going to hate for the rest of my life. So let's go Blues, baby.
Let's go and Blues.
Let's go Ovi. Go win let's that go cup Dallas before Stars. You retire, baby.
Let's go Dallas Stars.
No.
Let's go Seth Jarvis, baby. Carolina, let's go.
No.
Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5-Minute Major Podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them, so please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board.